In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of course, many of us wonder, why do we do this today? Why is this such a tremendously great feast day in the life of the Orthodox Church? Well, there is a history to it. It does go back quite a way. In fact, we can go back to the year 326. Now, what were things like then in the Roman Empire? Well, of course, Constantine the Great, after having seen a vision of the cross by this sign conqueror on the Milvian Bridge in 312, eventually legitimized the Christian faith among those in the empire. But yet, there was still a horde of paganism still present at the time. It was everywhere. It was not going to go away easily, nor was Constantine necessarily trying to eradicate it at that point, because there were many religions in the empire. He wanted everyone to get along as well as they could. However, his mother Helena, who was instrumental in Constantine's conversion, decided at the ripe old age of 80 to leave Constantinople and to go to the Holy Land in search of the true cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, when she got there, there were many, many people that knew from tradition what had happened to the initial Church of the Holy Resurrection, where it was. It was like a local tradition. Everyone knew, but no one could do anything about it. And in fact, some of the other emperors since the time of Christ, in order to try and eradicate Christianity, had come in and they had completely built over this holy spot where our Lord had risen from the dead. In fact, there was a temple of Venus that was on it. Well, when Helena got there, she had all of this destroyed. And they went and they searched for this true cross of the Lord, which again, all the locals knew was there, because it had been a very old tradition. Well, one might think of the difficulties involved in something like that, even today, when we've got bulldozers and cranes and all kinds of things that could go digging, trying to find something like that. Just look at the trouble that archaeologists have in the Holy Land today, trying to get to things, how careful they are, how long it takes. But Helena was not to be put off in any way. They raised a great number of workmen who went in search of this cross, and they finally found the remnants of the Church of the Resurrection and began digging and digging and digging, and they found three crosses that were part of that church. And as we know, of course, the Lord was crucified on one, and the good thief on his right, and the thief that was not so fortunate on his left. But again, the crosses were mixed. They didn't know what was the true cross of the Lord. Well, as it happened, not long after they had discovered this, along came a funeral procession from a woman who had recently died. And it was coming right by the church. And St. Helena had this procession stopped. And they took the body of this woman and they laid it on the two initial crosses, and nothing happened. Then finally, they laid her on the third cross. And miracle of miracles, the woman rose. She came back alive from the dead. And that is why, to this day, when we refer to the cross, we refer to it as the precious and life-giving cross. This isn't just some sort of verbiage that we give to the cross in terms of the poetics of the church, in terms of the hymnography. No, this is a reality. Precious and life-giving was this cross of our Lord. Why should a cross, an instrument of death, be something that is absolutely the symbol of our salvation? Why is that? Well, many of the church fathers have said that it is foundational. Of course, without the resurrection, the cross means nothing. but the cross is the foundation of our salvation, because by this same wood, this same tree that had so deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, now with Mary and with our Lord Jesus Christ, all of that is reversed. And the tree becomes, instead of something death-giving, instead of expulsion from paradise, this tree is the tree of life that enables us to come back in to paradise. That's why it's so important. That's why we sign ourselves with it. That's why we adorn ourselves with it around our shoulders. That's why we have crosses everywhere. That's why we speak of the cross all the time. That's why every Wednesday and Friday of the church year is dedicated to the cross of the Lord. And of course, there's three other times. We had one back on August 1st that was the cross procession. We have today, and then of course we have the third Sunday of Lent, which is also dedicated to the cross when we bring the cross out into the midst of the church. And why basil? Everyone notices the basil sitting here, because we have roses during Lent. Because there was a flower that was blooming near the cross that St. Helena found, and it was basil. And so we bring basil out with the cross to adorn it, to make it smell nice, because everyone loves the smell of basil. It's something that we bring out this time of year, as soon as the church year has begun, in order to remind all of our people what the purpose and goal of our faith in Christ really is. The great church writer Origen, way, way, way back then, late 200s, early 300s, who actually got a lot of things wrong. He made a lot of mistakes. He did a lot of stupid things. But yet, when he was right, he was really right. And in this case, he speaks about why is the cross of the Lord so important to us? Well, it's because that we need to see ourselves reflected in it so that we can know ourselves truly. You've all heard that saying, to thine own self be true, right? Well, in most cases, though, we don't know our true selves. That image of God that was given to us at the time of our creation has been layered over, layer after layer after layer, with facades and great artifice, and so that we might somehow build up an image of ourselves that we think we want to present to the world, that perhaps we think of ourselves as being, but what is not really our true selves. It's that way for all of us. Think about it for a moment. We all have an image of ourselves that we like to present to other people. And you know, you've also heard of people that somehow in public everybody thinks they're one way, but then somebody says, well, you know, you should see this guy when he's alone, when he's quiet, he's just with a few people. He's entirely different. That's because sometimes that image within us is trying to get out, struggling to get out, but yet we've so covered it up with so many accretions, with so many mistakes, with so many sins, with so many of the things that we think somehow we need in order to project ourselves into the world at large, but that we really don't. Because when we show the cross, when we put on that cross, when we start peeling back that spiritual onion, if you will, then we get to that reality that is within us, that true image that our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ has given to us. And so when we come before the cross at this time of the year and we bow down before it, as certainly we would have at the time of the Lord Himself, if we had seen him hanging on the cross. When we bow down before it, when we raise it on high, we are proclaiming not only to the world, but to ourselves of this image of God that is within us, that we need the cross to bring forth. Of course, the reason that we elevated it today is because after St. Helena had discovered it, the patriarch Macarius at that time in Jerusalem took the cross and he elevated it and held it up on high to all the four corners of the earth, while all the huge crowd of people who were so astounded at the find said, Lord, have mercy. They were weeping, Lord, have mercy. And so we do the same thing. We raise the cross and we sing 500 Lord, have mercies as we imitate what the patriarch Macarius had done. This is something we need to take into our hearts. This is something that God calls all of us to embrace His cross, to embrace His cross and to glorify His resurrection, because this is the meaning of our Christian life. And as Orthodox Christians especially, who revel in the materiality of the world and the way that God interacts with it and blesses things with His grace, thereby empowering things that are created to become things that are sanctified and holy. This is so important to us as we bow down before the cross and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a very, very special day that should resonate throughout the rest of the day. Because as Macarius did back then, emulating the raising of the cross as it was raised on that day of ignominy, when our Lord Jesus Christ was put upon it, when He ascended it for our salvation of His own free will, thereby glorifying the wood that He touched. We also glorify this same wood and thereby glorify the Lord who hung on it. So please, take this day to heart. Don't let it just kind of blow by, well, another church service or another great feast, or today we celebrated this or that. No, no. Today, as we said so often, we see our Lord Jesus Christ present before us, hanging on the tree for our salvation and asking all of us to follow Him. Because what did He say? Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. There is no other way. As Christians, we have embraced this. As Orthodox Christians, we revere the cross. We revere all the things connected to our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to us today and beckons us. Don't give up. Don't let down your hope. Don't let down your faith. And most of all, keep firm in the love which I give you. That's what He's saying to us. So let all of us today reverence the cross, worship our Lord Jesus Christ, and continue on the path that He has called us. Amen.